morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and it's always good to, you know, be with you guys. And as we go through a conversation between Aaron, Tuck, and Roland, and if you guys want to join in, you can actually write into us at the number 3. Wiseguys
at HebrewNation.net.
That's the number 3.
Wiseguys
at
HebrewNation.net. Come on, you guys, get with it. Are you awake?
No. Still reeling from last week's elections and still trying to figure stuff out. But I got good news for you.
Oh yeah?
Yes. The presidential ticket for next year has already started.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Of course, it's going to be Joe Biden. You know, he's sitting president, so he's going
to
run again.
Oh, yeah, he has to.
But he
can't walk, but it's okay.
Good news is he's changing his running mate.
Really?
Who's the guy out of that just won in Pennsylvania, Fetterman.
So it's,
Biden Fetterman. It's a no-brainer.
I get it.
Biden Fetterman, it's a no-brainer.
Hey, it's good, but you know what? Here's the thing. It's probably, if I were picking, it's going to be a no-brainer versus, or no-brains versus the no-brainer selection of DeSantis Lake.
That would be a wonderful ticket.
That would be a great ticket.
Right.
Especially since she lost, you know, so what's she going to do? She'll start running right now.
She's one of the best people I've ever heard on a campaign.
Yeah. I saw last night, though, that she lost her election.
Well, why,
officially.
Wouldn't you expect it? I mean, the person she's running against is the Secretary of State, who happens to run the election process, who happens to kept on finding new and new and more bags of ballots, you know?
Uh-oh. Chuck's going to be okay. Just bit that over, sir.
Well, timing was good on that one. It was a bad thing. He actually choked on his drink, but the timing was kind of good.
Trying to breathe that coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. You know, that is amazing. I mean, think of that. It took, what, a whole week to keep finding more ballots in Arizona?
And Nevada. Nevada flipped. It was red. Now it's blue.
Oh, yeah, because it takes a long time to find enough ballots to offset the real ballots.
Right.
How come we never had this issue before?
You only assume that we didn't have that problem before. We didn't see it before. You're right.
We are getting to watch political theater.
Oh,
right,
my goodness.
Of us, and we're getting to watch people that are probably, I think, some of the most downright scoundrelly type people I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it was bringing me to this text. Okay, just tell me if you think where these words come from.
Okay.
Shatter their teeth in their mouth. Break out the fangs of the young lion. He who aims his arrows, let them be as headless shafts. He will sweep them away with whirlwind, the green and the burning alike. Who do you think is saying that?
I don't have an idea, actually.
You know, everyone, I've always had this image, right? We always talk about how Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, Elohim. You know, we're told that God is love.
Right.
But we're also told that he is a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't necessarily think of these terms often. Think of this. In heart, well, on earth, you weigh out the violence of your hands. The wicked are estranged from the womb. That means they're pulled out of the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth.
They had venom, like the venom of a serpent. So this is David, King David, describing those that are evil. Like a deaf cobra that stops by its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of the charmers or the skilled caster of spells. And then he says to this, O Yahweh God, shatter their teeth in their mouth.
Whoa.
Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Yahweh. And let them flow away like water that runs off when the arrow aims his when he aims his arrow, let them be as headless shafts. So yes, who's aiming the arrow? Yahweh God. Who's the one that knocks out their teeth? Yahweh God.
Wow.
This is pretty something.
Yeah.
Like the miscarriages of a woman which never see the sun. So let them be as a snail which melts away as it goes along.
What's the address?
This is Psalms 58. Let them be as a snail which melts away as it goes along, like the miscarriages of a woman which never sees the sun.
Wow.
These are some major comments that are being made about what God will do. Back in 59, when David is asking for Yah to protect him or have deliverance from his enemies, Psalms 59, verse 5, And thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. They return at evening. They howl like a dog. And they go around the city. Swords are on their lips. Wow. Then he goes on to say, God is my stronghold. Yahweh God is my stronghold. My Yahweh God in his loving kindness will meet me. And he'll let me look triumphantly upon my foes. Wow.
The tone totally changes there.
Yeah. But David gets to look on.
Mm-hmm.
We're told, that, if I were to read on here, the believer will actually celebrate in what happens to these people that are so tremendously evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always think, too, that it's just the Democrats, right? They're the ones that want to kill babies. They're the ones that want to tell us that we can't speak. They're the ones that tell us, you know, what we can or can't say.
Right.
They're the ones that locked us all down.
Or what firearm we can or cannot carry.
Right. But there's even something greater here. And this evilness, this stuff goes deeper. I want us to think here for a minute about how the system works, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have these leaders within the houses. You have a Democratic leader. You have Republican leaders.
Well, in each of those groups, you have majority and minority leadership.
Yeah.
So there's two sets of leaderships in each of those.
And they've been around for a while.
Since I think that Pelosi was there when the dinosaurs went extinct.
Yeah, at least. And McConnell.
What? Before that.
Why do they stay in power so long?
Because it's attractive and it's, what's the word? It's seductive. They have money and they have power. And power is more powerful than money.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at these guys, because how many people are in the House?
435.
Yeah, 435 in the House, and then another 100 over in the Senate.
Okay, and so you split that up in the Democrats. How many? So there's around 200 some of them and 200 some of Republicans. I mean,
right, depending on where things are. Yeah, this time it's not fully settled out, but it's, you know, 220, 230 roundabout where that mix comes in.
So do we live in a democracy or a republic?
A constitutional republic.
Yeah. That's what we're supposed to be in, right?
Yeah. Right, that's the official, yeah.
So you have to ask yourself this really basic question. How do 200-some of either Democrats or Republicans, all those people are supposed to be representing
everyone from all different kinds of states.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't any of them have an independent mindset but actually fall in line with Pelosi or McConnell and don't change?
Well, because they're sharing just a handful of brain cells amongst all.
That's pretty good. It's pretty obvious there.
Okay, so we have to think. So we either say that they're all just dumb, but these aren't dumb people. They're very
They're really not.
People.
They're very intelligent.
Okay, so what's the core of the problem?
They're stupid.
No, come on!
It's different. That's there's difference.
The populace is still thinking that we're running a fair country. And the populace, which is me and you and Aaron and everybody else, that most of us do not know that we're being scammed. We don't take the effort to figure this political system out. I'm guilty of that myself for most of my life. But, you know, if you don't know what's happening, if you don't know how the process works, you'll believe anything.
Yeah, I mean, we have to dig deeper to find the process because I've talked to people and they're saying, you know, all I knew was people mm-hmm. that wanted to get rid of the Democrats that are in office that are making our life miserable. We can't afford food. We can't afford housing. We can't afford any of these things. In fact, if we remember even in 2020, you know, when on that election in Arizona, you saw miles and miles and miles of cars trying to get in just to see one Republican rally.
Right.
And we saw it again here with Christy Lake. She's packing the houses, all right? But Kerry Hobbs, the other one running for governor in Arizona, did the same thing that Biden did. She hid. She not only did not debate her Democratic colleagues, she wouldn't debate Kerry Lake.
Did she have a stroke too before?
I don't know, but she just hid in her house. No one even knew her. So here the press is standing by her, creating this illusion that she's going to be the governor. So I think we got to think deeper rather than just, oh, these guys are stupid or maybe they don't have a brain. Maybe it's because they're sold.
Well, yeah.
Bought and sold, is that the name of it?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it here, the Measure 114 race, which is the anti-gun bill, I saw some figures. The yes, which is take away the guns, spent almost $3 million on their campaign. The no campaign was only $178,000. So, you know, it was about 17 times the amount of money on yes, and it barely passed.
And what does that money go towards? I mean, TV ads, radio ads?
Yes, yes. TV lies and billboards. I'm sorry, what did I say?
TV lies?
Oh, yes. I thought I said something. I thought I said a joke instead of fact. Anyway. But then you look at the Georgia Senate race.
Yeah.
Warnock spent $81 million. Eighth highest amount of money spent on a single campaign. Yeah. The seven higher are presidential campaigns. So there are presidential campaigns that spent less than this one Senate race in one state. And that didn't even bring a win.
Uh-huh.
So these people are just buying. They are literally just buying elections.
Who controls the money that goes to those candidates?
Well, at what point? Because the money starts, you know, the money starts somewhere. But you're going to is like
you got the RNC, the DNC,
right? These organizations, and some of these super PACs are run by certain individuals. One of which is your favorite guy, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, right. Don't you love him? I mean, when I got to looking at this, I was in shock. We actually had a chance to actually win New Hampshire, which would have been an unbelievable poll.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republicans would have had a chance. Mitch McConnell, his Republican superior,
mm-hmm.
pulled out 5.6 million
In Little New Hampshire.
In Little New Hampshire. He would not give it. Go all the way to Arizona when it comes to the Masters race for Senate. And McConnell pulled out $18 million. He did not support the Senate candidates in Arizona, nor did the Republican Party support the governor race. Now, we're thinking about this.
And so he's not voting party. He's voting power.
Yes.
He's what?
He's not voting the party. He's voting power.
Which takes us back to how long has Pelosi and Mitch McConnell been in power? What's the purpose? What's actually going on in America that the common person needs to be aware of more?
Yeah. Right.
And that is
Joe, you bring back from another election, Joe the plumber on the street, you know.
And so when we look at the House and the Senate, and here's the original question, how do 200-some people from either party just fall in line and do not represent the American person? What's really going on? Now, you're joking around, right? It said, yeah, they're stupid and dumb. I think they're bought and paid for stupid and dumb.
Right.
You know, so if Mitch is saying this to the Republican candidates, he's going, look, you can run all you want, but if you don't like me, which both of these candidates did, they actually stood up against the GOP, and they said, Mitch McConnell needs to go. So he says, well, if you're telling them that, no money there, and I'll keep my minority seat rather than the majority seat.
Yeah.
Why? Because I can still do my backroom deals with the majority people. I mean, think of this for a minute. Why do the Republicans, who know that the Biden family is hugely involved in China money, why aren't they just walking out? Why aren't they doing the old thing of old, like you and I used to just always joke around, like they would come up to someone when we first started in the 1700s and the 1800s. They'd walk up and slap someone in the face or beat them with a cane.
Yeah. Okay. Which happened on the House floor in the Capitol building. And they actually talked about it. Well, I was back there years ago, and I had learned the story before I went. And they were telling the story that and I can't remember the guy's name, was basically caned right there on the floor because it's in a squabble, and the guy just beat him up with his own cane and then threw it back down on him and went back and sat down in his seat.
They still do that in Britain.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
To watch these guys fight.
Yep.
You know, but where's the independence? And so if we've lost the independency, what does that tell you about money? Everyone is concerned about money, and we will come under judgment.
Yeah.
So when I look at this text, and David's saying, what are you going to do, God, with the unrighteous? What are you going to do with them? And he says, shatter their teeth in their mouth. Break out their fangs. Let them be as something that comes out of a pregnant woman.
Yeah, that's some harsh reality.
I know, right? Maybe that's what we should be praying for. You know, and that is, you know, Father, I'm done praying about this love stuff. I want you to really take these guys on.
Yeah.
Let your power be known. Break them down. And I know this is going to happen in the book of Revelation. We know the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, maybe this is the question for today. So how do we behave as heirs of the kingdom during this time? And how do we react to what we see? Like you had said earlier, you're just now getting around to maybe dealing with this whole week of being very disappointed. Most of us are disappointed because we knew how many people were truly voting Republican.
Yeah.
There were, even Gavin Newsom said on air, this is a red wave. I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain it. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. I mean, even the hardcore progressive left saw a red wave that never materialized.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think maybe it did, but again, it was stolen in a way that maybe we don't we don't take the left seriously enough.
Yeah.
And how far they're willing to go.
You mean as far as cheating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this delay, like Carrie Lake said, we used to have election day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now it's election month.
Yeah. It's, you give them more time, it's more time to cheat, more time to lie.
To find more ballots.
Yeah. So
why did that happen in other states? I mean, when I look at Arkansas, they were able to count their ballots in a day. When I looked at Florida, they counted it in a day.
Well, see that's just going to make a bad joke about.
Oh, go ahead, man.
I was going to make a bad joke about the argument that they would use, like, well, they're just hick people and they can only count to 10. So that's all they could count. And that's it. They're done.
No,
okay. We're advanced. We know how to find ballots in the garbage bin.
Yeah. we can not only count to 10, we use all the dead people who voted to count their. Oh wait.
Yeah. And look at my sleeve. Presto, here comes some more ballots. Oh, my goodness.
Speaking of, I came across this other picture this week. Somebody was requesting a death certificate online for a family member, I'm assuming. And so it pops up here, and by default, the question was, who is this certificate for? It's a death certificate application. So who is this for? And there's an option for myself.
Really?
So think about that one for a moment.
What is
it? would you truly be online getting a death certificate for yourself? And I was just like, wow, that's government for you right there.
That is. Oh, my goodness. I look at these people that are in office, and I'm going, would you hire them in your own company?
Oh, my goodness. Half of them, no. No.
No.
Because they don't think for themselves.
Yeah.
They get programmed by, here's the job, do these steps. You know, just like when you call in, you know, tech support and you get, you know, somebody from Asia who's having a hard time even understanding you and you're having a harder time understanding them. You say, this is what's going on. And did you do this? Well, yes.
Yeah.
They have to go through all of their steps before they can jump to, well, maybe it's this thing, so let me send you back to a supervisor. You know, it's like, that's the problem. We need to teach people to think for themselves.
That starts with us at the very beginning.
Right.
Are we reading? Are we looking?
Mm-hmm.
Are we actually being critical as we think about, rather than just putting a label on a party? Let's look deeper, because I think both parties are sick to the core.
Yeah.
I mean, sick to the core.
Part of it, and I don't know to what degree what part it is, but the last 10 years, it's coming out more and more and more. Everybody's calling America a democracy. And it's not a democracy. It never has been a democracy. Based on democratic principles, I don't have any trouble with that, but it's a representative republic, period. It's not a democracy. And when our leaders get away with calling us a democracy, they dumb America down. And most of America thinks that we're a democracy. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's two different, totally different things.
So what you're reminding us to do, too, not only do we need to dig deep into our resources to find out what's truly happening, but be willing to call people out on words.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, it's oh, that's just simple talk. That's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. It's words mean things.
If we repeat something over and over,
it becomes true.
It becomes true.
You know, you tell a lie often enough, a lie becomes the truth.
Yeah, which was coined by Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Seems interesting. We'll be right back.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Holy is your name.
Hey, welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and we've been talking about trying to get into the deeper side or the deeper issue of what's actually going on in America. I know many of you, when you hear the term politics or even anything that we're talking about, you just want to bury your head and go, hey.
No.
Right. You know, but it's the politics that actually affect your children's education. It affects your taxes. It affects how you live and breathe. It affects what you can say or not say.
Your paycheck, the size of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm. You know, so where are
we? The size of your tax bill.
Right. Where are we? What's going on? And are we recognizing the true problem? And I'm getting to the point that I'm seeing that evil has risen its ugly face strong enough that this is going to cause most of you, at least it has to me, start to reject that hope in any sort of man issue and actually start really calling on the name of Yahweh to do something about it. You know, it's amazing. Imagine you guys were maybe slaves in Egypt, okay? And
I'm not.
Right. And the tax burdens kept getting harder and harder. And eventually you had to sell off your house and your goods.
But I like the leeks and the garlic, and so the food is right. Just wonderful.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know, but you had to work harder and harder, and pretty soon they had you making bricks. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon they told you you really couldn't keep your kids anymore. You had to turn them over to Pharaoh.
Because they're Pharaoh's kids, after all.
Because they're Pharaoh's kids, after all. And then you questioned Pharaoh, and then they said, well, we'll just kill your kids for you. Okay, so that's where – and we're going to take away the straw that you guys used on your bricks. We're going to make it even harder for you to make bricks.
But don't slow production.
Don't.
That's right.
And the people of Egypt – tribes of, you know, Joseph and Jacob and that family, they decided to start raising their voice and crying out to Yahweh to do something. And I wonder if it's similar to what we started to read right now in Psalms 58 and 59. We've been praying many times in the past. We pray, quote, for our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think that time is done. I don't think we should pray for our leaders anymore. I think we should pray that they meet judgment. I think we pray that Yahweh God comes down with his arrows of destruction and knocks out their teeth.
Well, wouldn't that still be praying for them?
Well, it's praying for our true leader.
That and someone stands
Yahweh.
Up. Yeah.
That's Yahweh.
You know, when I look at this even further, David had talked about this. I'm in Psalms 59 again. And you'd said there was a change in the shift of his tone, okay?
Yeah.
And that tone happened. He says in verse 9 of Psalms 59. Well, let's go to verse 8. Thou, O Lord, dost laugh at them. Thou dost scoff at all the nations, mm-hmm. okay? Because of his strength, I will watch for thee, for Yahweh is my stronghold. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. Yahweh will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. Now, I think that's amazing that he's going to let David look down at his foes,
mm-hmm.
which was similar, remember, to the Israelites. They actually got to look at Pharaoh's army in the waters, and they looked down at their foes. They were destroyed in the waters when they crossed the Red Sea.
Right.
Okay. And so let's go further. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down. O Yahweh, our shield. So you see this active heavenly battle going on.
Mm-hmm.
On account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride. And on account of curses and lies, which they utter, you said TV lies and all those other things.
Right.
Destroy them in wrath. Destroy them that they may be no more. That men may know that Yahweh rules in Jacob. Now, if David was saying this back then, and if I know Israel was yelling out, in fact, Yahweh said, I heard the cries of the Israel in Egypt. I heard their cries.
Therefore, he came down and brought judgment upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's heart remained hard. Are you guys seeing a government that is remaining their hearts hard and not listening to the slaves of Egypt, all of us who live here? And they've even turned their back on Yahweh God. Can't speak of him in school.
Mm-hmm.
Can't speak of him in public.
Well, it's like we have a leader, Mitch McConnell, for the Republicans, and he's a perfect example of people not paying attention to the people that they're supposedly in power positions for. He's making certain that he's going to retain his power position, whether it's majority or minority, so he can continue to work his deals.
Well spoken. And he's not listening to the people
anymore.
No,
he's not. He's making his money, mm-hmm. period. And he's solidifying his own power so he can work his deals.
The same. You see the same with Pelosi. How does Pelosi have every single issue? How is there never a wavering vote? How does that happen to 200-some people and they never question her? She even made this – guys – if our memory's short, let's remember back to the healthcare thing. Pass this vote, and then you can read the document.
Yeah.
Pass the bill so we can read it.
Yeah, oh, my word.
The dumbest thing ever. And people didn't balk at that.
And I'm looking at it. I mean, when Aaron said, yeah, they're all dumb. Yeah, they were dumb not to stand up and say, forget you. We're going to read this first.
Yeah.
So where's the representative government? Everyone's fallen in line to do it.
Everybody should have been screaming from both sides of the aisle.
Right on.
They should all have been saying, hey, no, that's not what we're here for. We're here to read this.
That's right.
We're here to represent the American people and not our own wishes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just for perspective.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell has a net worth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which is
see the what I found is an estimate from 2018,
mm-hmm.
so a little old on the number. I mean, but it's just a measly $34 million, so it's not that big of a deal.
No. Well, when you think about rich people, it really isn't that big of a deal. I know people on TikTok that make as much as him.
Well, I know. Now you're talking. I mean, TikTok. You're really talking about something, right? But here's the thing. $34 million, and the salary for somebody in Senate is, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head here, but it was in the neighborhood of $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of stinking years to get up to $34 million.
Well, and Pelosi, one of the richest women on this planet. You know, who happens to exchange stocks and bonds and all those things?
No. She doesn't. It's her husband. Oh, so you're confusing that.
He's just the smartest man on earth.
Right.
Who runs around his house in underwear and gets beat in the head by a hammer. Yeah.
Right.
has no security. Oh, we are so blessed.
No. They are so blessed. That's what you meant.
Yeah, so when we're seeing this happen, is it time? And here's the question again. Do we quit praying for these guys, or do we ask for God's judgment to come on these people?
Because here's the reality is, at some point, whether it's at their next election or at the end of the time, uh-huh. of this earth at least, they will get their due. So all the game playing and the nonsense they're doing today will come payable.
You know, let's give another example, because imagine you guys are in the mid part of World War II, and you know Hitler is sending thousands upon thousands to gas furnaces and in mm-hmm. camps.
Sing louder.
Okay. Yeah. Sing louder at your churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, oh, well, let's pray for Adolf Hitler to come to know the Lord, you know, because he knows our hearts and he's going to take care of him. That there's that nice prayer.
Right.
Why aren't we crying out and say, Yahweh God, shatter his teeth. Make him grovel like, you know, a snail coming out of a woman's womb, you know?
Make him, you know, be destroyed and that they may be no more.
Take this person out. Why don't we pray like that? And is that acceptable?
Because we're supposed to be kind and nice.
I know.
Yes. Yes and no. It's a matter of perspective, and we have to know what is true and what is right,
mm-hmm.
and be willing to stand for it. And praying to the God of the universe, the Elohim of the universe, that he would take evil out. And if evil is the leader of my party, mm-hmm. then take the leader of my party out, mm-hmm. because he does not deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. And so we're so stuck on voting party instead of voting right. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you have to vote right,
mm-hmm.
not either or.
I like where you're starting to think about this prayer-wise. Here's another option to think about when it comes to prayer. Where are these evil people getting their ideas to be evil?
From the enemy.
So where are we supposed to be praying? I mean, think about this for a minute before you answer.
Yeah.
We're told we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. We're told that. So if these peons that are bringing, and I call them peons because we've seen them. We've seen them talk.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them walk.
Yeah.
We've seen some of them attempt to walk and attempt to speak.
Most of these guys on the – I don't know if you've ever guys have watched – I know Aaron has. I don't know if you have, Tuck, but if you go watch the debates on the Senate floor or the House floor. Most of them are getting so old, they can't even put a sentence together. And most of them are so out of touch with American people, they don't even know what you're paying for with the groceries.
Shoot. He's got $34 million. Pelosi's somewhere in that neighborhood, too, or more. I don't remember what she is.
She's around the 70 to 80s.
The when milk goes up, it's like, okay, fine, whatever. Ice cream goes up. She goes and buys an entire freezer full of ice cream
and points it out to
and points it out on TikTok or whatever it was. And we're like, okay, this week we don't have ice cream. We might next week,
maybe.
You know,
I mean They ignore the homelessness. They ignore the gas prices. They ignore these things. But you see these people that are controlling our lives. Are they controlling the lives, or are they being controlled in order to control our lives?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really interesting. Did the practice of Moloch worship ever go away? Did the practice of Baal worship ever go away?
No.
What are these secret societies? What do they actually do? What are they still confessing? What are they still holding their allegiance to? How are they gaining power to sway American public in such a way that we've all lost our minds, literally, to see truth or to see righteousness? What's caused that to happen? What has caused a government that can find every single person in the January 6th riot in a crowds of thousands, but they can't find a sex trafficker?
Right.
What has caused FBI agents to go arrest people that are criminals that did horrendous things without drawing in a SWAT team, but they draw in a SWAT team to go arrest people that maybe marched in the riot at January 6th, who's never had a crime before in their life, and call them a terrorist?
Well, what one of the differences there is where the attack, if you will, was.
Oh, at the people's house?
Right. And it was at their front door. Whereas the sex trafficking, well, it's off in the city somewhere. I don't see it. It's not right here. It's not towards me. You know, one of your favorite movies, Taken.
Yeah.
You know, the thing happens to the guy, and what does he do? The guy gets into action, and he goes and does because it happened to him personally. I heard a story once of, you know, somebody's kid getting taken. Oh, boy, that stinks.
But when it happens to you?
Right. You know, that personal level at that point. And so they're like, I think that's kind of the big piece of, hey, well, and it was so public. Mm-hmm. And it was Trump. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, this is all nonsense stuff. You need to take care of your job. And they're not doing their job.
Well, it must have been very scary because just 3 hours after the riot, they all came back and they all voted.
Right.
Very scary.
They came back to do their job.
Yeah. You know, but what's interesting even then, you guys, is that I was listening to a FBI agent who was talking about this, and we were trying to wonder why are so many Democrats saying that there's so many domestic terrorists out there. And I finally got to see it. He said on all the other riots during the year that happened in 2019, you know, all those summer riots, those were listed as one case.
So the 100 days in Portland on the Portland federal courthouse in downtown Portland, that was one case.
One case.
Okay.
Yeah. But when it came to January 6th, they got orders from the upper.
It was one day at one time.
For only a couple hours.
A couple hours. That was one case.
And no burning, nothing. The only ones that got killed were the people that were actually doing the rioting.
Right. So that was one case.
Yeah. Well, no, not exactly.
What do you mean?
They decided to give an order to open up every single person as a separate case. So every person arrested or questioned or being dealt with in that riot. So there's over 800 to 1,000 some people that they've opened up, and each case is a domestic terrorism case. That's how they can sit on TV and lie straight to you and say all these hundreds of cases on domestic terrorism.
Because they made it hundreds of cases instead of hundreds of people in a case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where it flips. So again.
So what you're saying is it's messaging.
Messaging. I know. that's one of your favorite ones, you know, because I mean. Where is the Republican Party on learning how to message? I don't know.
That is one of their biggest faults.
So I'm going to ask believers in Yahweh, in Scripture, in Yeshua, what's your message? I mean, what is your message right now, you guys? You can call into us. I'll pick you up. I'm on a new program. Hopefully I can answer it. 503-967-3001. That's, I believe, is it?
That sounded right.
Yeah. And or you can write into us at the number 3.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net. Or you can actually go to Hebrew Nation Radio online, look at the marketplace. There's some fantastic books on these topics. But I think I'm coming on one of the best topics. I'm going to have to write a book on this, I think. And that is.
Yeah. What is it? Give it away right now. Tell us your book.
What are we praying for?
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting to. What are we praying for? David, when he was going up against the Philistines, can you imagine?
Bring him to Jesus.
Yeah, Yahweh God, I really want you to really fix this Philistine leader and let him come to know you. No, he was saying destroy him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is completely contrary to our modern thought of pray for your leader.
Yeah. But I'm almost thinking that if these guys understood the spiritual realm of prayer, this is where I think it's going. I'm thinking that he's saying destroy the evil presence that surrounds this evil person.
instead of the human being.
Because the human being's made of his mind, soul, and spirit. So
right.
That spirit that was breathed into that human being was given to every human being.
Mm-hmm.
God breathed something into them.
It's interesting, Roland. You brought up Psalm 58. And just looking at verses 6, it's a powerful verse. It says, "Break their teeth in their mouths, O Yahweh. Pull out the fangs of the oppressors, O Lord." And so teeth and fangs are both teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And break their teeth in their mouths of people who are speaking to us, who are politicians, if you will, that are speaking lies to us. And then the oppressors, the ones that are really exhibiting great power, rip out their fangs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing with the teeth. Hurt them in their mouth and intimating that you will slow down their talk.
See, that's the imagery I was just getting as you were saying that, because we talk about, you know, a bill and having the teeth to it, you know, how it's actually going to get in there, and
it's going to have power.
Going to have power, and it's going to do whatever it's supposed to do. And so if we're saying, hey, take away that power from them, that's a little different. Instead of, no, just kick out their physical teeth.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's more metaphorical teeth instead of, you know, well, actual.
It could be, but I think it's probably more likely both.
Yeah,
because
it could be too.
David here was a king, and he was very straightforward. And he was a young guy. He was came from the country, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said, "Kick in their mouth, kick their teeth in, Yahweh," he was serious.
Yeah,
kick their teeth in, make them feel it. You know? And we're so used to praying, "Oh,
love on them."
They don't deserve our love. Mm-hmm. They deserve our, if at best, our pity, because they are lost.
That's a good word.
Yeah. But Yahweh is the king. He's the leader. He knows the end game, and we don't. And we have to pray for his will to be done, and hopefully he will judge them.
I want to go with where you're going with that on that, Tuck, because that's like you said, we pity them, which actually puts a believer in a different position. It seems like most of us have learned to grovel. Oh, no, my life's terrible. Everything's going away, right? But in actuality, if we are co-heirs in the kingdom, we're here.
Yeah.
And those that are coming against us, they lose. They'll have everlasting death to deal with. We're speakers of the kingdom. Great concept when we think about it. You know, this other sort of thing to bring up, well, I don't know if I should. Well, we'll just bring it up, and then we'll go into it later. But I want you to look in Revelation, okay? The seven churches. Who is Yahweh speaking to in the seven churches?
Believers.
I was going to say us, right?
Go to the front of these. Every single church starts with, "To the angel."
Huh.
Hang on tight.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation. nation, his kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. We've been talking about our world, you know, politics. How do we relate to it? What do you pray for? I mean, it almost seems like we've moved to a different level of prayer. Are we going to be active in the battle for Yahweh's kingdom to reign? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice how that starts off in the Lord's Prayer. So do we work alongside that kingdom, or do we just be passive prayer warriors in a way that doesn't really seek the will of his kingdom?
Well, I think the greater majority of us have fallen for the ploy of the enemy, in that we follow passivity. We should be praying for these things with fervency, with power, and with strength. And Yahweh is a doer. He's not just a namby-pamby, thumb-sucking creator of the universe. He's a serious power man. And he will take people out if they need to be taken out. Mm-hmm. And whether it's, you know, it's not for vengeance sake, it's for his justice. And that's where I think the majority of us, myself included, we get lost in wanting repercussions. We want somebody to pay for their crime instead of wanting the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's will, he's compassionate. He's patient. He's loving. But when you're wrong, you're wrong, and that's not going to change.
Yeah.
He may not kill you, but there will be heck to pay for your wrongdoing. And, I mean, there's so many things in our life that are wrong that we pray against, that we struggle against, and the Lord is compassionate, he's forgiving, and he will not kill us out and out, but we will pay. Because we did wrong for 30 years, 10 years, 1 year, 1 day. We did wrong, and there's a punishment for that. There's a consequence to that.
You know, but it's interesting, okay, that we have examples. King David did wrong things, but he's prayed, like you've seen in the Psalms, in those spiritual realms. King Manasseh had blood flowing from the streets. He's listed as the most evil king in Israel. And yet God worked with him and forgave him and returned.
Mm-hmm.
He restored many of these kingdoms again. So what is the real battle? Is it just about us as individuals, or is it the struggle that's allowing things to open up to achieve Yahweh's prophecy? Think about Daniel here for a minute, okay? So let's go to Daniel 10. I'm in Daniel 10:7. And it says this. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Well, the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. Wow! Daniel's having a vision. Run for your lives!
We've seen this one before.
Scary stuff. There's going to be angels and everything. I don't know. So I was left alone and saw the great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. Can you see these guys do? Okay, he's having a heart attack. His blood's being drained out of him. Verse 9, but I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. He said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and in humbling yourself before Yahweh, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now remember what Daniel's words are. He's asking for an interpretation of dreams. He's had Gabriel come before him. This Daniel's been through a number of kingdoms, okay?
Right.
He's a smart dude. And so he says this, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Where does this battle sound like it's taking place?
Iran, Middle East.
Middle East. In physical forces or spiritual forces?
Yeah, well.
This is an angel that's talking to him in a dream. Yeah. I've been detained.
Yeah.
What was I doing? Battling. With whom? King of Persia. But we don't necessarily know who that is. Or the kings. It's plural. Kings.
Mm-hmm. Country leaders.
Country leaders. So I either have to think about, okay, this is angelic forces over the kings of Persia, or it's kings of Persia that have the power to hold back angelic forces.
True. Yeah.
There's only two ways I can look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going with you?
Well, that's what we're told when we're not fighting men who are fighting princes and principalities, you know, and most of us don't have a concept of what that truly means. Evil, the concept of evil we know stems from Hasatan, but there are millions of demons and millions of bad characters, human beings that they're infecting, that they're pointing towards us to take us out. And if we don't fight them in a spiritual manner by coming against their power, we won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord will allow us to be taken out one way or another. Mm-hmm. Because we're getting in the way of people who are doing good stuff for Yahweh. And we don't lose our salvation per se, but we will lose our physical life for the time being.
When Israel fought some of their enemies, we're given vivid descriptions in the Old Testament of wind that would cause confusion, trumpets that would make the army scatter and flee.
Yeah.
And usually the armies of Yahweh were small numbers of men. Gideon finally got them down to 300. Okay, where he started with some thousand, thinking they could take on these forces.
Well, that's what Abraham fought off the kings of...
with only 300.
318, yeah.
Right.
So,
again, is that a physical battle or is that a spiritual battle? What gave them these magnificent feats of strength? What gave Samson magnificent feats of strength?
Faith and belief.
His hair.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Which is now, you know, that's an outward testimony, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you got to dig down deep. What actually caused him to kill 1,000 people with a jawbone?
It was tough.
It's more than tough. Come on, Doc.
He's Rocky Stallone tough.
Adrian, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Give me a jawbone.
Give me a jawbone. Taking up Philistines. You know, and the jawbone's not even a sword for crying out loud.
But that's to where things are happening that if we try to put our minds around it, we won't get there. If we put our spirits around it, they'll use our mind because it's all part of the package. It's part of the whole thing. because it's not just spirit, it's spirit and physical body
yeah.
that work together for good. And so we have to approach it both ways. And until we do that, we're going to always be on the defensive.
See, I keep going back to the story of Job and David and all these people that are there, right? And our first instinct is like Job's friend said, Job, you're suffering all these things because
you did wrong.
You did something wrong. But Job goes, I know I worship the king, you know, and I'm not going to discredit the king. I'm just going to keep worshiping the king. Well, no, Job, repent, put yourself in ashes. All your riches will come back.
Yeah, you had to have done something.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is. You did something.
Right. So in thinking, I see two tests when Yahweh, I mean, the one that came to the courts of heaven, when the angels, when the sons of earth came to the courts of Yahweh and said, we take away all this stuff, he's going to curse you. And Yahweh says, go ahead. Let's see how well you do. Okay? So if I take that one example, I'm thinking, okay, Yahweh will allow things to come into our lives to test our faith, to see if he has us to be one of the 300 or one of the remnant or ones that will stand true. And so we should count it as privilege that we're being tested. So that's the one thing. The other thing that comes that we have to think about is if I know I'm following the will of the Lord and I know I'm keeping his commands, then I know I should come under the attack of the enemy himself, who's going to be saying, I need to take you out of the football game, man. You're too much of a running back. So let's see how I can discourage you. So let's see all the things I can do to you. Let's try taking your livelihood away. Let's try taking friendship away. Let's try taking children away. Let's try having all events in your lives occur and see if I can discourage you and make you walk away. That works pretty good on most people, right? Yep. Or let's take an election that you thought was going to work for you. And let's find more ballot boxes just to turn your day around. Let's take a few weeks to find more ballot boxes.
Speaking of, I just saw something that said that Joe Biden just received some more ballots just this last week.
Well, the thing that gets me is how come the Republicans, just as in response to that, come up with their own bound ballots?
For the Democrat?
No, for the Republican.
Because they would truly be found out.
But that's what I'm saying. I said, well, if you think I did wrong, why can't I think you did wrong?
Right.
You know, I mean.
But then you're an election denier. You see how they coin these phrases that Aaron talks to us about? They know how to message. I mean, think of this. After this election, who would dare question this election? Because they've been able to message the election denier thing so well.
So long as people we have in power, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
He's not a Republican. He's a doer for himself.
Yep.
He's working in conjunction with the Dems.
Yeah.
And the Republicans, because they are all together in this whole picture. There are some isolated mm-hmm. people that are truly for the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
But most are on the same team, and that's not ours.
So we've reached this state. Here's the question again. How are you going to pray?
Pray that Yahweh would take them out.
Or let Yahweh bring his angelic forces and give them strength.
Yeah.
Do we think about that?
No, most times not.
Yeah. We think it's all about us. But if we truly believe the verse that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness, and we truly know that there's winds in the trees and there's trumpets that blow and those things cause confusion, who do you think's blowing those trumpets?
That's right.
Angels or frogs?
It's like,
I mean, who's blowing them?
It's like you look at areas that are high wind areas, Chicago, Casper, Wyoming.
Maybe that's
all
it.
All these different places. One of the things that happens from high wind areas is static electricity. What's so big about static electricity?
Yeah.
It produces tension. I'm just talking about physical tension. You blow over your arm. You see your hair rise up. That's physical tension. You see 50-mile-an-hour blow over something, and that's real tension.
Hmm.
All right, if you do that consistently, day after day, week after week, is that it wears on you. And so that's why high wind areas have the most suicides. And people have done studies on this.
Where are you going with this, Doug?
Well, I'm just showing you
that
things like this make a difference. And if you don't fight these things, and in our case, spiritually, you know, if we want evil to succumb to Yahweh, we have to pray Yahweh that he would take them out.
Yes.
And not just, convince them guys to turn the other cheek or whatever stuff. He needs to take evil out.
You know, we know that the cherubim are huge dudes.
Yeah, they certainly appeared that way.
A 17-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of huge.
Yeah, so and you know that they can take on 10,000. They can take on a legion. And you know that they have armor, and you know that their heads turn and look different ways. Why are not we asking Yahweh, release these guys?
Well, you need to start promoting that.
Right?
In our midst. Is that we need to talk about that sort of thing.
So, basically, kind of what we're talking about is the country, the people in the country, the individual citizens, need to turn to God?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right?
Huh.
If you're discouraged right now over these elections, you're discouraged over what the negative stuff that us wise guys talked to you about at the beginning, this corruption, these downright dirty deals, and that makes you feel bad. Well, okay, good. Now pull strength for that, and let's start praying in a way that
what
makes a difference.
What did you bring up earlier in the show that the Israelites whined and complained in Egypt?
They cried out to Yahweh.
They cried out
to where he heard them.
I mean, a lot of us would say they whined.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't whine. They cried out because they were being persecuted. We have never, in America, we've not been persecuted. Some people truly have been, but for the greater part, most of America has not been persecuted.
Yeah.
And even
not like Egyptians were.
No. Most poor people have it great compared to everybody else in the world. And us, you know, in the middle class and to rich people, you know, we don't have it hard at all. We have it good.
It's
and
coming.
So we need to, you know,
look at even what's happened. Some of our persecution that we have felt, the birth pangs, so to speak, is being told that you can't speak. Another birth pang would be to lock people up in prison without following the constitutional right of a speedy trial and to know your accuser and know what's being done to you.
Right.
So right now we still have people in prison locked up as political prisoners. So this thing has started its little wave. So if you talk about the waves that are occurring, it's begun. So how do we start speaking against it? I believe we need to start speaking against it in the spiritual realm and make a difference. Cause these evil angels are doing. You know, I had someone show this to me the other day, and I thought it was interesting, to say the least. I, too, like you, when I looked at the seven churches, thought, oh, they're talking to us. But every single verse, let's just take the first one, okay, in Revelation 2. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write.
So John was writing a letter to angels.
I don't know where I'm at with this yet, but
messenger.
It's interesting.
It's not angel, it's a messenger.
Yeah. So when I think about this, too, we notice, too, when the woes go out, these seven seals and the trouble are all done to these angels. Or they're the ones that are being put it out, or even messengers, whatever you want to call it. But this is to the angel with single. It's not plural. Now, there are some verses that will say messenger, but it goes on. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds. Now, if I look at that, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who is that?
Yeshua.
There would have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because he's the one that holds these churches. The one who walks among them says this. So here's Yeshua speaking to this messenger. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. So if I compare this verse with the angel in Daniel who says, I was tied up with like 21 of these guys, and I couldn't function well. That's why I was late. Okay. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, well, this is an interesting perspective that someone's bringing up. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. It means you're still battling.
Right.
You're still doing okay. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. What is that? Remember, therefore, from whom you have fallen. What?
From whence have you fallen?
And repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I'm coming to you and I'm going to remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. The lampstand is what he's walking among at the very beginning. This is what Yeshua is walking among.
So he's walking amongst
these lampstands.
Lampstands, like a group or grove of them, I guess. You know, whatever you call it.
Well, what does the lampstand represent? Represents his glory.
Well, lampstands, if I go back and I go, okay, you are the light of the world.
Right, and that's kind of what I was thinking, is a lampstand is something that holds
and
the light.
Forth. Yeah.
Well, aren't we supposed to be holding the light?
Who allows you to hold that light? Who's the one?
Yeshua
does.
Huh? Yeshua
does. Yes, but what are messengers, what are angels, what are workers for? What do they do for us? How do they involve themselves in our lives?
Well, in this particular case, in my translation, it reads where it uses the term angel. And angel in this case means the appointed head of the church. So is for each church that Yeshua spoke with.
Is that a man?
Yes.
Really?
The appointed head, the leader of that particular church body.
I don't know if I can believe that. If I have only seven churches. Okay? And they've lasted throughout the generations, because we see each one of these churches in a prophetic sense from beginning to end. How is that a man? Well, the only man we have leading churches right now is a pope. All the rest are...
That's, in my opinion, that's limited, because you're looking at Yeshua here, who is the leader of all things, the creator of all things, and including bodies of belief. Mm-hmm. And there are many ways to praise him, to worship him, and there's only one essential way, and that's through him. You can be Mormon, you can be Catholic, you can be Protestant, you can be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as you go through Yeshua, then your final end point is
Yeshua says he's there, but he's speaking to, and he says to the angel or to the messenger. Angels are referred to as messengers in Torah.
Yeah.
So if I were to relate this to Torah, to the messenger of the church, think about that for a minute.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
And we're hoping that we're giving you some encouragement here, because I know many of you are struggling right now. Either your jobs are coming under attack, your marriages are.
Contemplating taxes. Moving out of state.
Yeah, run from Oregon. I had someone here in Silverton. In fact, you know them. They're really good business, and they're going, do we move?
Did you talk to me? I've had the question, too. I mean, after this election, we're like, you know, it clearly didn't go the way we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for us to go, too? Not because, hey, my G.I. Joe is broken, I go pout the corner. But this state is no longer, supportive of my way of life. In fact, it's actually hostile towards my way of life. So why stay? I mean, this is why stay in that place? The Israelites, the Egyptians were very hostile to their way of life, but they didn't have a choice to leave. I might have a choice to leave this slavery.
Yeah.
You know, so why, if I've got the option, why would I choose to stay?
So that's
what we're asking ourselves right now, right?
So it'll eventually catch up with us because we know that the whole world will come to know him.
Right.
And so you might have a little longer go.
Right. You know, if I move into a state that is much more to my way of belief, okay, now we might have a little better time with the rest of our days. You know, same with my kids. We'll have a little easier time.
I just had a text that came in for us, Tuck, and we could probably do this either on the computer as well. And they had looked this up. The Greek word for angel in Revelation is the same as the angel that visited Joseph in Matthew 1:20 and onward. That's interesting. And that was a kind of a messenger.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he got quite a message. Hey, don't leave the girl. You're supposed to stay with her. and it wasn't a mistake that she got pregnant.
Uh-huh.
So you stay with her.
Uh-huh. You know, before the break, we had left talking about these messengers that are mentioned in Revelation. And it seems that they have an influence or power or direction over the seven churches that are listed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that Yeshua is speaking to them. And John is recording this from a vision. We also know from the book of Daniel that angels and messengers were held back because they were wrestling and working for us.
Mm-hmm.
We also know in Scripture that we're told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. And we've been trying, as wise guys, we're talking about, how does this help us in our current need? We even started to discuss about the Israelites in Egypt. They eventually cried out. We know that David was up against the Philistines, and he cried out. And he asked for Yahweh to come in. And
he was a warrior.
Yeah, and kick their teeth out, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so how do we pray is the question. I'll give you this one text. I think this is the first step that I'm learning how to do as I reevaluate my prayer life. And I'm hoping that some of you are reevaluating yours. Because typically, a standard prayer kind of goes like, well, thank you, Jesus, for the nice day. And please let me get food today and let me, you know, have a good life. I mean, we almost pay to him almost like a Santa Claus God. Like, please forgive me when I was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be good. And then you'll bless me.
Right.
Doesn't that remind you of Santa Claus? I mean, it's like, if you've been good and if you've been, no, if you've been naughty or nice, isn't that how the song goes?
We should not be praying like that.
No.
Right.
It's a whole, our God is much, much bigger than that.
It's deeper.
He's the king of the universe. And he wants us to share in his will. And if I don't take active participation in that, then I won't lose my salvation per se, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong in that. but he won't continue to use me in his furthering his will.
Yeah.
If I don't do certain things, he'll take me out because I'm in his way.
Yeah, when I looked at these psalms, many of them were prayers that David gave in psalms. And so I'm trying to, during my prayer time, before I actually pray, I'll read one of these. But here's a text for you guys in Hebrews, because I think this is our first step. Paul writes about it in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace.
Okay.
That we may receive mercy and we may find grace to help in time of need. Now, this text breaks down pretty easy. Our first step is to walk forward in confidence. What allows us to walk forward in confidence?
Well, strength, knowledge, understanding. I mean, because if you are going to walk out in a brand new place in the middle of the night with no light, with the blindfold on,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be confident of what you're going to step onto or over.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you step over a cliff. Maybe you step off the edge of a curb. You don't know. But when you have that knowledge, you can just walk out there and be great and be fine. So in our life, that one's harder because we kind of live our life with a blindfold on. Because we don't know what's coming next.
We don't. That's called faith. Go to Hebrew, go two verses above, and we find our answer. Okay? You ready?
Huh. That's interesting. We're going backwards a little bit, huh? Okay.
Hebrews 2.
So we're in Hebrews 4.
Hebrews 4, verse, how far back do you want to go?
Let's go to 12.
12, okay. Do you want a couple extra seconds here to kind of, do we go up to 11 or 10?
No.
So 12.
Okay.
We'll go to 9.
We'll go to 9.
For the word of Yahweh is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay, so this is our first step, realizing that Yahweh addresses us in all three aspects, soul, spirit, and flesh, and that he's living and he knows us.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to 13. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So he has sight. We might not yet. But let's go to verse 14.
Okay.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens.
Okay.
Jesus, Messiah, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our confession. So what's that confession? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet he's without sin. So the confession from my lips is to confess that he died for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he wraps it up in 16. So let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. So I'm drawing near in confidence because I know Yahweh knows my soul, my spirit, my flesh. I know he knows every spirit that's out there, every creature that I have to face. I know that I've been given a high priest that suffered every sin that I suffered. Now I can enter in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question, or the first thing I'm changing in my prayer life is, I come before you, Yahweh God, in the name of Yeshua, because I've been invited to come boldly before this throne.
Mm.
So here nice. I am as a person, and I'm coming before you and asking for you to hear me. Now, there's something else. many times we receive this oppression that comes to us. And what does oppression do to us? Oppression can be discouragement.
Right. Get you down. You don't want to do anything. Everything is wrong at that point. I've done bad. All of those kind of negative thoughts.
Yeah, and I keep rehearsing those.
Right.
Ugh, I hate them.
Play those tapes in your head forever.
Dude, I know
or,
them.
You know,
I
records
know them
or
well.
However, 8-tracks, you know.
I know you guys know them. Hey, let's play it again. I love that song.
Oh, I don't like that one at all. Play it again.
But here's the second step.
Okay.
Not only do I come boldly, but David tells us in Psalms 100, shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Come and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself, he is Yahweh. He who has made us and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So that's the second step I have to do. I have to come before him with joy and sing anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try this on. Father, I'm coming boldly before your throne. And Father, I'm still going to sing to you, even though I can't stand this election. So let me sing a song right now of praise. And let me thank you that you've brought me before this throne because of this problem. And you're testing my faith like Job.
Mm-hmm.
You're testing my faith like David. And you told me, Father, that you discipline those that you love. Thank you, Father, for loving me. And thank you, Father, for your discipline. So now I glorify you and I lift up your name. That's my first step as I come before you in prayer. Every knee is going to bow before this king. So I have to do my first bowing. I have to humble myself now and bow before you because you are the king of the universe. I was going to be looking here at, there's another one I wanted to look at. I don't know if we can look at, oh man, my pages are sticking together. Dude, can you look up Philippians? Any of you guys got Philippians 2? Come on. There we go. I got it.
Okay. My computer is acting slow here.
Well, this Bible of mine, I've had this since high school, right? And my fellowship, bless your guys' name, rebound it for me. Okay? But all the pages.
Because you used it so much?
I've used it so much. Everything was coming out, so it's rebound, but yet the pages are still kind of sticky. But I love it.
Eating candy bars while you're reading and getting sticky pages.
No, eating pancakes.
Oh, pancakes. Waffle, yeah.
But
yeah.
Philippians 2, therefore also Yahweh highly exalted Yeshua, our high priest, our Messiah, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, those who are on earth, and those under the earth. Now put on that picture for a minute. Spiritual forces are in heaven, and evil forces are under the earth, and we are on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come here before my king, I'm asking him at the start of my prayer, Father, let every spiritual force be brought and made low as I enter into this talk, this prayer with you.
Mm-hmm.
Does this start to change the nature of how you approach the king?
Well, it would have to, because your heart, your reasoning for, choosing the phrasing that you are using has changed.
Right? It's not poor me anymore.
Right.
It's, I recognize who you are. And I recognize that you've allowed me to come before you. I recognize that I'm supposed to sing praises and be thankful for the position that you've put me in. And I recognize that every knee will bow and proclaim the name of all names.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That should automatically change us. Then I'm looking at these things. And I'm wondering, what enemies must have felt like. And I know this text I have right now in Isaiah 66 is a little bit different. But again, let's imagine how we were talking about the very first part of our discussion. How did David pray? How did Gideon pray? How do you think Abraham prayed when they were going into battle? Was it like, Father,
bring him Jesus?
I don't think so. In Isaiah 66, 15, it says this, for behold, Yahweh will come in fire. That's how he's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And his chariots like the whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For Yahweh will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh. And those slain by the Lord will be many.
Whoa. I mean, it's almost that football locker room pep talk at halftime, you know.
Right.
Well, boys, they beat you up pretty good, but let's just go back out there and we're just going to take it to them.
Yeah, right.
You guys can do it. Hit them harder. You know, it's that.
Yeah.
Kind of, okay, we're going into battle here. Okay, Yahweh, we're gonna get fired up. Okay, here we're going to go. Okay, we're going to go in and we're going to take these guys. You know, it's
like, I know, but I mean, you're right. Think of Gideon. Father, blow those trumpets of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Send your chariots of angels down into this camp. Make these people scatter. I only got 300, Father,
yeah.
So I need you to do something.
The thing to remember with those as well is, I don't know about 100% of the time, but the greater majority of the times, praise and worship was leading the charge.
Mm-hmm. To do what?
Because we were praising Yahweh.
But to release what?
To release his strength, to release his power and
his
glory.
Who's his strength and power? Who works for him? What are these cherubim for? What do they do? Do they sit around on harps?
There are helpers.
To do what?
To do his will.
Which is to battle the enemy, because we wrestle not against spirit, flesh and blood. So I'm thinking to myself, if I'm Gideon, if I'm David, I'm going, Father, I'm yours. Now release these angels, release these chariots. Help me take on this enemy.
Right.
Do not let me become discouraged. Do not let me not confess your name. Do not let me fall down. Do not let me become weary. Help me pick up the sword and fight again. Right. You know, I was looking at one of the latest films on Samson, and I thought it was a cool film. It was made in 2020, I think.
Oh, yes. I know what we're talking about.
Samson?
Yeah.
And it shows Samson not being the tallest, the biggest, but the strongest in his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows the battle.
He's still a big, strong guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was fit. But it shows him after the battle, I mean, taking that jawbone and just whipping on it. There were times that he would fail and he'd drop and then get back up again. But afterwards, every ounce of energy just released from him, and he could barely walk because he'd experienced the spiritual forces that had been running through him.
He had the jawbone. He also had the ruach flowing through him. And human being can only withstand that for a certain amount of time without uplifting from the Heavenly Father. And so when the battle was done, he was done. He was wiped out.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to be nourished back to health, if you will. And so, it was just a jawbone. It's probably big, but
we have another great example. Remember Elisha taking his servant out on the balcony? And when it looked like the city was going to be taken, it looked like everything was going to be gone. And he opened up the servant's eyes, and what did he see? The armies and chariots of Yahweh fighting in spiritual forces. Do we think like that when we pray?
No, that's what we should.
Amen.
Yeah. Because that's what in all the battles that Israel has had since the recreation of the state in 47-48, all their enemies always said that there was warriors on the hills surrounding them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They would give you stories like that.
Yeah.
They said they ran for cover. They couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Yeah. So that's what. That's why Israel won, because they had the backing of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe it. We've listened to other testimonies where someone is about. Do you remember the lady that we pulled in and interviewed? There was the missionary to the Pygmies. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do.
And she was getting ready to go into the forest. The soldier stood up and said, "You're not going in there." And she goes, "Yeah, I am." And then they started firing guns on her, and their bullets just went.
Yeah, they down. Yeah.
And they said they felt that they saw an army behind her, and most of her people had left. Who the heck did they see?
Yeah. They saw spiritual warriors.
The 17-footers, dude.
Yeah.
I like this idea. So we're coming to this. How do we pray? I think we're getting to a point where maybe we're waking up to this fact that we need to get tough and quit praying, like Tuck says, like weenies.
We pray spiritually. We don't pray physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know that I know what that means. I'm in the process of discovering what that means, and we have to look at that wholeheartedly and say, "Father, guide me. Show me what I need to do. How I need to be. How do I do Your will?" Because it's really easy to say. I can understand it in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't understand it just yet.
But I think you understand it from our Torah section last week and this week. Last week it ended with Abraham saying, "Behold, here I am."
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. "Behold, here I am. Hey, noon, hey." Okay?
Yeah.
Now, in this week, we have Rebecca, a woman, who says, "I will go." That three words is very similar to the three words that Abraham said, but just in a little bit of a different fashion. Most of her family is saying, "Okay, we know you're supposed to go marry this rich guy, but can't you just stay a little longer? Stay like 10 days longer." And Rebecca goes, "Nope, I'm going now. I will go."
Right.
And she goes to a land that she doesn't know, to a husband that she's going to meet that she's never met before.
And she resisted her brother.
Yeah, and she walks in faith.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. I think nowadays we need to learn how to pray and learn how to make the statement saying, "I'm here, I'm willing, I'm tired of this world, show me what I'm supposed to do." Because there's a greater kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Just show me what to do, and I'll do that. What would happen?
Well, what would happen is if a country did that, they'd break free.
Yeah.
His light now shines, the darkness must flee from the light.